Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And truly, God has redeemed us from the hand of the wicked. And he brought us out of the miry clay. He set our feet on a rock to stay. He has put a song in our soul today, a song of his praises. Oh, hallelujah. And what does this word hallelujah mean? It's a long word, four syllables. Hallelujah. It means highest praise unto God. It is the highest praise in the capacity of the language in which we speak, in the oratory language translation that we can speak. And when you give thanks unto the Lord by saying hallelujah, you're acknowledging him as being omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. I call it the 3-O factor. I want to ask you a question, and you don't have to rush in and answer this question here on today's edition of the Spoken Word. Have you given thanks unto the Lord today? Have you said hallelujah to God today? Have you considered all the wonderful things that he has provided for you today? Have you shown your appreciation? But so many times, and this is just the error of human nature, we're constantly asking God to be Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God provide. We're constantly requesting that God does something for us. But have we thanked God for what he has already done? And the scripture says, because you have been faithful over a few things, God said it, I will make you the ruler of many. And it starts with saying thank you, praise you, hallelujah. Lord, I honor you. Lord, I respect you. So many times we go and we give honorarium to people that we see on the natural frequency of things, that we're constantly saying things about them and giving them their, what they call the worldly apparatus of shout out. We'll do that without any contemplation. But when it comes to giving, he that is worthy of all honor, praise, and glory, the rightfulness of referendum and recognition that he deserves, we're slack in our ability. We need to do something about that. So many of us have been praying and asking God, oh, grant me my petition, please. Oh, bless me. Oh, prosper me. Oh, give me. Have you thanked God for what you have today? This is a word of knowledge to someone who's listening here on the spoken word. I don't know whether you are in the continental U.S. of A, whether you're in Canada, whether you're in South America, whether you're in Europe, whether you're in Asia, whether you're in Australia, whether you're in Africa, or even Antarctica. But I'm going to tell you something, and you know it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. So I don't know where you are in the complacency and the compartmency of your designated geographical location. But let me tell you something. Be faithful. Be thankful. Be grateful over what God has given you thus far. The scripture says to us, despise not the day of small beginnings. Be not weary in your well-doing, for you shall reap in due season if you faint not. This is a special word. This is going out to someone, and maybe more than just one person. It could be 100 different people that this word is being planted in the soil for, that you need to take heed to. And you wonder why you haven't manifolded what your responses should be. Thankfulness, gratefulness, appreciation, recognition, and praise. You got to take it back to the Genesis perspective. Respecting God for who he is, what he is, how he is, what he can do, what he's doing now, and what he will continue to do. And I'll tell you something, if the congregations, I don't care what your faith disciplinary concentration is, would go back to being thankful unto God, being grateful unto God, looking at God, praising God, giving recognition to God, we would see such a great revival sweeping, starting with the leadership nation of the United States. We would see such a tremendous revival. That revival, they're talking about all these various epidemics and endemics. No, this will become a pandemic, a positive pandemic, a revival throughout the land, the land of the entire global projection on every continent. We would see the miracles. We would see the breakthroughs. We would experience the dunamis, the dynamite presentation of God. Oh, my goodness. This is just so relevant. This is just so crucial. I wonder why anybody else can't feel this. I feel that passion. I feel that burning within. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, the prophet said it's just like fire. Shut up in my bones. I mean, it just revitalizes me. It rejuvenates me. When I'm feeling sluggish, when I'm feeling sad, when I'm feeling questionable, oh, the living waters begin to accentuate and flow. And I'm going to tell you something. What a great exuberance. What a great feeling it is to have the living waters of God the Almighty flowing within your soul. I'm going to tell you something. Great things are coming. Great things. God has done some great and extraordinary things previously in this week. God testimonies just coming in about what the Lord has done. Oh, you thought last week was great? This week is going to be even greater because we're going to put God first at the head of everything that we say, we think, we feel, and we do. He's going to be the very epitome, the foundation, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord of Lords, our King of Kings, our Master of each and everything. He's going to be the centerfold on the display table. And when you put God first and Jesus Christ is the center of your affection, look out, because the miraculous will take place and will take place on a continuum level. And listen, the spoken word is definitive to build you up upon your most holy faith where you can receive the most exuberance of expectations from the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. So Jesus said, he came to give us life and that more abundantly. Do you want the abundant life? I love it. I want it. And I'm going to continue to dwell in it and dwell in the secret place of the Most High where I can abide, and you need to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And this is where it all takes place on this glorious, oh, yes, it is, and victorious, oh, praise the Lord, the 7th of what? August. Believe it or not, there's only 4 more months left in this year. And what a year it's been thus far. But you know something? The best is yet to come, and the best will continue to evolve into something better. And so thank you for your patronage. Thank you for your listening. Thank you for your support. And let me tell you something. As God pours in and prospers and blesses me and performs miracles within me, for me, and around me, is as much as I'm going to pour out those same miraculous results back into the teaching, back into the prayer, back into your life, so it can replicate, it can duplicate, and then emulate, and oh, become viral to all those around you, transforming your family setting, transforming the workplace, transforming your life, your communications, your relationships. These are crucial. Now, don't you know God is glorified when we have a happy family? You know God is glorified when our relationship within ourselves and with others is blessed and bountiful. Don't you know he's glorified when we get the financial and miraculous breakthrough? Don't you know that God is glorified? Oh, yes, he's glorified. When we see the manifestation of physical healing take place, But you know, God is glorified. I just want him to be glorified in every aspect of my life. Because I enjoy life and you enjoy life. He didn't come to strip us of life. He said he came to give us life and that more abundantly. And we're just thankful and grateful today. And I hope that your day is indeed going well and that your week will be miracle-filled and just progressive and productive, and that you will abound in every good thing. So we're thanking God today. And just go to the 113th edition of Psalms. I know we have been in Psalms and in various other scriptures, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, you need to ask God through the Holy Spirit to guide us. The Holy Spirit is the guiding compass. Not only is the Holy Spirit the teacher, is complacent within the psyche of our metaphysical being. He is the teacher. He is the compass that guides us and empowers us into the very powers of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so we're going to go to Psalms 113. Before we read that psalm and do our biblical instruction, let's say a word of prayer. Men are to always pray and not faint, and pray without ceasing. Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done, for all that you are doing in the body of Christ. We thank you for what you're doing within the hearts and minds and bodies of every believer, of every dear child of God. Father God, we know there's a distinction between being a child of God as opposed to just saying that we're Christians. See, as being Christians, we take off and we put on Christ. But within us has to be the power of the Holy Spirit to translate us into the being that thou would have us to be. Father God, we just thank you, for we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. And we praise you, we magnify you, we glorify you exceedingly, rather that you destroy every handwork of the devil, of the enemy who cometh against your children. For we know he come but to kill, steal, and destroy, and to tear down the saints of the Most High God. But Lord, we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. And we thank you that through the authoritative measure in the name of Jesus, in which every knee must bow and every tongue confess that we are covered under the blood. We are safe. We are protected. We are immune. We are kept. We are blessed. We are prosperous. We are productive. We're progressive as we progress the kingdom of heaven. Bless us one and all. Bless our homes. Bless everything that we touch that is prosperous. And Father God, we're saying a prayer for the very children of Egypt, the very children of the world, Lord, that they would come to repentance, to come to know. And as Egypt represents the very catastrophic measures of the world, Lord, we're praying that they would come to repentance. But Lord, you said that if your people, and Lord, it is not distinctive of race or culture, it is distinctive of our belief and of our integrity to walk in truth, will call upon your name and ask for forgiveness, you would heal the land. And Lord, we know the land needs to be healed and the harvest needs to begin within the circumference of Egypt or the world. And Father God, we're asking that you look upon Israel. Israel, Father God, bless the children of Israel, for God is real, Israel, and that you touch and strengthen them, Father God. Put a hedge of protection around them, Father God, and bless them and supply all of their needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. But Lord, we know that through this lineage, our Messiah came, and we respect because we came through that lineage as well as spiritual Israel, Father God. Put your hands of protection round about them. Give your angels charge over them, Father God. And Father God, we're asking that there be a revival of every denomination, of every person that walketh in the truth and the knowledge of you, Lord, that Christianity becomes a reality as opposed to a concept or an ideology. And Father God, we thank you for all your blessings, seen and unseen, known and unknown, here and now, and the blessings that are coming as well. Father God, we thank you, we love you, we acknowledge you. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. Psalms is a very wonderful book because it replicates various types of topics or subjects. The longest book in the Bible, 150 divisions, there is no other book in the Holy Scriptures that is condensed of 150 divisions or chapters. And Psalms is reflective because it's based upon various types of themes. David is in his hour of trial, hour of triumph, hour of questionability, hour of praise and recognition of God, hour of rebuke. He just experienced a whole lot of various events in his life. And he's one of the chief writers that we see the name of Nathan also mentioned here. Yes, Nathan contributed to the book, but primarily David. And David was in his infancy phases of becoming the king of Israel. See, oftentimes we confuse assignments with titles. See, at this appointed time, David had just decided that he needs to flee from the presence of Saul because, you know, we all know the story about David slaying Goliath and how he gained rapport and gained recognition for his battalion capacity. And we all know that Saul knew this, and Saul became envious of David because of all that he had, that's right, in his capacity or within his reach. And he knew the anointing was on David, that David was going to unseat him because God had got angry with Saul. Saul, he began to seek the power of mystics, using the various means of enchantment to gain recognition and to gain momentum. And see, God does not want us tampering with the forces of darkness and things that are just not reflective of holiness and righteousness. And you know, God is in favor of witches and witchcraft. He says, suffer not a witch to live. That means cut them off. How can two walk except they be agreed? So as a result of his disobedience, his hard-heartedness, God had appointed and anointed David to take over the throne. And you know, God got so angry with Saul, he allowed Samuel to come. So let me tell you something. People talking about old paranormal activity, God is the only one that can allow the supernatural to happen. He summoned Samuel to come and speak to Saul because he was trying to give Saul a space and a place to repent. But Saul wouldn't do it. He had became hard-hearted and vindictive and divisive, and he wanted to kill David because he knew that he was going to take over the throne. Was David perfect, preempting his kingdomship? No. You know what David did. It said of him, he looked and he lusted for the beautiful Bathsheba. And there are many of us, we represent Bathsheba. We have outer attractiveness and somewhat seductive qualities. We have to remain obedient to God, suppress that nature, because sometimes that nature can overrule us and we end up falling into a pit ourselves. So, yes, he fell with Bathsheba. He looked upon her fairly, and he fell victim. And as a result of him falling victim, you know, nothing but bad is going to happen behind that. And someone said, well, you know what? It was already his time. No. The Spirit of God does not always strive for man with man, for with that he is also flesh and also with women too. We pray, we fast, we lift our hands unto the Lord, we worship him in spirit and in truth. We seek him with the wholeness of heart and the purity of mind, but we're also flesh. And this is why when we fall, see, a fall is a prerequisite to a sin sometimes. And sometimes when you fall, instead of just getting up and just brushing off, we need to make sure that we're examining ourselves after we fall, that we don't have any scrape scars or anything that become infectious. This is a revelatory word of knowledge. This is speaking to me like it's speaking to you. We need to make sure, be circumspect after we fall so that we don't end up going or falling into sin. That's right. And because, you know, with physical sins such as adultery and fornication, they leave scars, psychological scars, emotional scars. They can wreak havoc within one's relationship, within their household, self-image, a whole lot of things. You know, now it's not so easily removed as a person who tells a falsehood or a lie. You can track a lie and go and tell the truth, and everybody forget about it. A person can be hungry and go take something out of a store they shouldn't, and they can get away with it, or if they get caught, explain their justifiable reason for doing it, and the manager or the person may feel sorry for them and let them go, and all is well. A person can make a mistake and be looking at something someone else has and says, oh, I wish I had that, and try to strive to other ways and means to get it, but then they end up footing the whole bill. But they can turn around and return whatever it is that they have and remove it from their level of purchase. They can do that. And then nothing be said and done. Nobody ever forget it. But it's something about physical, sexual sin that causes an infamous mark on a person. This is the reason why Apostle Paul said, fornication flee. Let not these things be named amongst you as becoming saints. We see sainthood has to be ascribed, it has to be pursued. You have to want to be the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. And that's the only way you can do it. But nevertheless, we're going back to Psalms 113. And here is the theme talking about praise. I love the book of Psalms. As a new born-again believer, Psalms is the book you need to start with. We always can talk about the Acts of the Apostles, Romans, all the epistles, letters that are giving instruction about living, yes, but Psalms sets the stage of your instruction, of your worship, of your adoration, of your recognition of God. It sets the perimeter for you to begin your journey. And here it is, Psalms 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise is the whole central concept of this psalm, beginning. Recognize, adoration, respect, regard, consideration. That's what praise is. We just think it's saying something good. Oh, it's that praise echoes by volume. It recognizes, it accepts, it adheres, it adores, it cherishes. Cherish the Lord. Ye his servants. Prosper. When you cherish God, you can't help but prosper. When you adore God, you cannot help but have the best. You cannot help but be victorious. You cannot help but have divine favor. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and evermore. That means consider and recognize and praise God at this time forth, I mean the here and now, and in the time to come. From the rising, this is the third verse, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord should, what is means stature. She is here, evident. Is, it means it's happening now. To be praised. His name is worthy of honor and glory, and so he deserves to praise. And it's a rightful and befitting thing to do, because the more that you praise God, the more you recognize God, the more you regard God and respect God, that's the greater momentum your life will take on, a greater dimension and definition will take place in your existence. Your existence will be miraculously, stay with me, miraculously transformed. The Lord is high above the nations and his glory above the heavens. That means his majesty, the firmament of his power, is celestial as well as terrestrial. Say it with me. The majesty of his power is celestial. That means the planets, the stellar projections, the asteroids, all of these things, even the flaming comets. All bodies within the sky, all the firmament of the celestial, the temporary or the terrestrial terrain, all reflects God. Remember I talked about taking that nature walk and just saying, looking at God, saying, God, look at all the jewels that you bespangled upon the earth. When we talk about jewels, we're always thinking about rubies, diamonds, sapphires, emeralds, agates, pearls. No, the greatest beautiful jewels that you can see is that instilled within nature. You're looking at the trees, the various colors of the trees. Have you ever considered, and fall is my favorite time of the year. To me, fall is this reminiscent of happy days, of happy times, of a transitioning of the seasons into the harvest factor. That's why I think fall is just one of my favorite times of the year, because the colors are so reflective. It's like a kaleidoscope. You know, we think about spring as being the kaleidoscope season. Yes, but also autumn is just beautiful. You know, you see the various colors in the leaves, and you see the sky begins to get bluish tinge earlier in the evenings because the days are slowly but surely becoming short. All the jewels of nature God gave us, and we should recognize him for the most minuscule creation to the greatest. We should give recognition unto him. The Lord is high above the nation and his glory above the heavens. That means that God's presence is everywhere and anywhere. And so we should recognize that and conduct ourselves most circumspectly. That's right. That means carefully. You know, when you're circumspect, you're examining, you're making sure that everything is intact and enact. We must do this. He raises up. He humbled himself. I'm sorry, we're going to the sixth verse. Oh, I'm sorry, the fifth verse. We're getting a little bit zealous here. As the prophet said, the zeal of my house has consumed me. No, the zeal of my house is not consuming me. But it's just that so I'm so excited about the word of God. And I know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth of the mouth of God. Now let's continue with this verse. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? That means who can match God? Who can be equivocal or equilateral with God? No one can. He is omnipotent, all powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipresent, everywhere, every given time. He is infinite. Who is like him? None. He is the creator of the universe, the master of the universe. There is none like him. None. He humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heaven and the earth. That means he watches over the heaven and the earth. Yes, he left mankind as a custodian to watch over and help to govern the things of the earth. But God still watches over us. He knows our lack of integrity sometimes catches up with us. He knows that our subordination sometimes is a little bit upheaval or unbalanced. And he knows that because we are of the fleshly nature, we're supposed to become lazy on the job. That means we perform, but not at optimized level. So he still considers the earth and the heavens, and even the earth that he has given mankind to watch over. He still is conciliatory of that. And so, therefore, in being conciliatory of that, he does what? He raises up the poor out of the dust. Let's just listen to that scripture. He raises the poor. The poor, sometimes we don't think about people being poor. That means that they're economically challenged or destitute or don't have enough or possess very minuscule amounts of things. Sometimes poverty is not external. We're talking about finances. We're talking about assets. We're talking about materialistic goods. There's a lot of us who have a lot of materialistic goods. We have a lot of fiduciaries or finances, and we have a lot of, you know, external things, but inwardly we're poor, we're lacking, we're broken, we're hurt, we're empty. But externally we have provisions, we have it, we can put on a good floor show. But there's many of us who are internalized, very empty, very sullen, and not at all complete. So he raises, God has the ability to raise the poor, whether that's economically challenged or deprivated, or whether they're internally deprivated or lacking. He raises them up out of the dust. He resurrects them and gives them new purpose and new meaning in life, provides those miraculous provisions, gives way in the gateway of opportunity to open and not close. God does that. It's the hand of God. Yes, God sends people to us. God does extraordinary things with us less than ordinary people. But we have to remember that and to keep that in constant remembrance. Listen, any time we should let these things fall. Here it is. He lifts what? The needy out of the dunghill. Have you ever went southward and you remember that in the south, and especially in the very, very elemental aspects of the rural south, you know, they didn't have the provisions that the city people had and the northern people had, because them Yankee folks had. So when they had to go and relieve themselves, as nature would have us to do, provide, you know, excrement to cleanse our inner being, because it's a natural process. All living beings, this is what makes us a definitive contrast to non-living things. Living beings, whether they're animal or human, and humans are just higher level of animals, have to utilize the excrementation process. Well, down south, there were places where people didn't have provision, or aquatic provisions, and they used to have to use outhouses. And also, they had some places, they were really rural, they had dunghills. And dunghills were places where people utilized the human excrementation process, and they would take the dirt and cover it up, and it would break down in the soil, and, you know, it would act as fertilizer. But guess what? God will resurrect those who are living in the dunghill, the very lowest epitome. And to most people, it's the lowest epitome that you can get in a dunghill. But God has the resurrection and igniting power to resurrect and lift those people who are destitute in that manner, whether it's economically or psychologically, out of the dunghill. Because you know that the dunghill does not smell good. So God's power can resurrect mankind from that level of existence. Because he's God, he has the sovereign capacity that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. That means that God will exalt us. Many of us, God has put us on the platform so that we can have accessibility to leadership, not for us to sit up and brag and think we're so great and so wonderful, but it's for us that we can make through his name positive, productive changes that will innovate and improve the equity and the integrity of the lives of others. God works that way. He does. And he sets us in these places so that we can serve him and serve humanity at the same time. What an awesome God he is. God is an awesome God. Yes, he is. And you know something even more miraculous? He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a loving mother of children. This is the final verse. Praise ye the Lord. That means that sometimes children that we come in contact with become our children. And they might not be our biological children that we had through the natural birthing process of conception, you know, fertilization, and, you know, and the literally bringing forth of the life, or springing forth of life through the labor intensity projection. But sometimes God gives us other children to take under our wing and to teach and to have impact with. And I know as an educator that there's hundreds and perhaps even thousands of children that I knew that they were not my biological children. I have my own children, yes, They're gone and they're grown. Thank you, Lord. But my assignment was to be a, you, somebody might call surrogate mothering. I call queen, being a queen mother to these babies. A lot of them looked at me as that mother, as that figure of authoritative measure, as that figure. Some of the students would even do things where I would have to chastise them because they wanted to feel that connectivity. They knew the love was there, the compassion was there. And sometimes the tough love was there, and sometimes the love got real tough. But nevertheless, they felt that. And so therefore, I was never barren. See, a woman can have biological children. And you may not want to hear this, but you're going to listen to it. And still be barren. Means the mothering concept, the concentration of your assignment is to be with that children. A lot of people, because they're pursuing career, they're pursuing financial stability, imagery, all that stuff, they're barren to their children's needs. But you know something? God can translate that woman when she becomes a believer and she equips herself with the knowledge of God and seeks and adheres to the concept of salvation. Salvation means liberated from, because you delegated to do so. He can make that barren woman a loving mother of children, but she's no longer insolent or cold, but she's receptive and caring and compassionate to be a loving mother of children. And to keep the house, that means keep the provisions equitable to what's needful and necessary to have a happy life, to promote a happy life. Praise you, the Lord. And this is what God can and will do in the lives of those who believe him and trust in him. So let me tell you something. We're going to receive the greatness of God's presence on this day. It starts with this day and continue on through the week. And be that living testimony that will help bring someone else and provide that bridge over those troubled waters. I thank God for you, and I'm blessing you in the name of Jesus. And this is your instructor, your host, Abby Exelk, known as the Motor City Maharani. Also, many of you call me the Esquire from times previous as an educational consultant and trainer. Well, you know something, God is so awesome. I've seen myself going back into some areas and aspects of that, because this time is needful and necessary. But most of all, my servitude belongs to God. And what he promised me to do, I will do. And let me tell you something. All things, this is scriptural, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Be diligent to fulfill the purpose of God in your life. Have a blessed, glorious, and victorious day and week, and we'll be seeing you again next week. Thank you for tuning in. Be blessed.